Welcome to Talking Story. I'm Lynn Hadley, your host for today. And we're here with Scott and Mary Dougherty, Riverfolk founders, who in 2016 started Riverfolk, an organization helping homeless in our community with a variety of services, primarily assisting with acquiring identification to set less fortunate people on paths to employment, housing, and healthier lives. You employ various manners of doing that through fundraisers, concerts, grant writing, raffles, and amazing community volunteers. Do you want to talk about the origin of that? And welcome to Talking Story.
Thanks, Eileen. Thanks for having us.
Do you want to talk about the origin of...
Sure. I have been working with an organization that puts on a show called Winter Folk in Portland every year. Longtime musician and music promoter. And my wife came with me to one of them and fell in love with the organization that we were supporting, which was Sisters of the Road at the time. And I'll let you tell the story of you know, how you actually did it.
So I went to the Winter Folk concert, and it was amazing. I had gone downtown and talked to the people at Sisters of the Road, went back to the concert. I was just so excited, and the concert was great. I went a week later. We were invited to a birthday party of a friend, and all of the performers from Winter Folk were at the birthday party. And I said, hey guys, what if we do a fundraising benefit concert in Astoria? And they all said yes. And we thought, well...
You asked the right people,
apparently. And so I thought, well, we started out with Winter Folk. Let's call them River Folk, because we used to feed lunches down on the river.
Was that in conjunction with Filling Empty Bellies?
Yeah, I did work with Corey Buck at Filling Empty Bellies for a while, and then I just decided that I needed to do more than just feed them. You know, I needed to stop the cycle, and by doing that, I'd realized that replacing IDs and birth certificates is what they really needed. And so I started off just really simply, you know, one or two here and there, and we're up to around 400 IDs and birth certificates that we've replaced since then.
My goodness, so that's just in the last 3 years?
Yes, mm-hmm. And my phone never stops ringing.
Well, now, help us understand, why is that important? Why is that a important cog to getting people back up and in the flow of things?
It's the bottom barrier. It's what you have to remove in order to get up out of the situation that they're in. I met a couple down at the park that needed help getting their birth certificates, and I hadn't replaced my birth certificate since I applied for my passport. And I said, well, why don't you just go to the library and use their computer? And they said, you can't use the computer without ID. You can't open a bank account, you can't cash your paycheck if you get hired, you can't get a job without ID. So it was just, it just seemed to me like a no-brainer. It was the first barrier that they had to get through. And if you're homeless, it's $25 on the average to replace a birth certificate, and it takes 4 to 6 weeks to do that. And then it's another $44.50 to replace to get your ID, your Oregon ID card. So that's a big chunk of change if you're homeless. You know, once they get it, we've gotten people into housing. We've helped them with employment. That's just what they need to get them out of that position that they're just stuck in.
And these services are available within and throughout Clatsop County, or to... How does that prioritize?
It started out as primarily as just for Clatsop County, but it's expanded. I get calls from Washington frequently. And if you're homeless and you want your ID and birth certificate, I'm not going to turn you away, as long as I have money. So,
well, which leads me into where, how is that money available to you?
Through private foundation donations. We have on our website, we have, what is it, Scott? PayPal?
Yes.
We get a lot of private donations, just people, you know, click off the monthly.
Yeah, through our our website.
And that would be, give us the address, please.
It's riverfolkastoria.com.
It is a .com, not a .org?
No, it's a .com.
Okay. riverfolkastoria.com.
Right. We're a 503C nonprofit organization, but too many people, I'm in web design and marketing, and too many people just automatically type in .com, so that's why we're .com.
Well, yes, you want to.
We want to. Want people to remember our address. So,
and can you talk about some of the other fundraisers and services that you provide to the community? I think the Winter Folk was a concert specifically.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's evolved into a concert for River Folk as well.
Yeah, actually, they're not connected. They were just inspired. So, she got the initial performers for that year. I produced a show and put it together at the wonderful Performing Arts Center over here, which, if I can throw a plug, please support them. They're great. They're a great organization. Then we duplicated it the next year in 17. And I had Bob Malone, who is the John Fogerty's keyboard player, headline, and we had a number of other great performers play that one, and it was quite a success.
And I have to ask, do you just happen to have these connections to professional musicians?
I was a touring musician for 45 years, so I also had a place in town called the Red Hare, which was a gallery and live music venue. So I had two shows every week for 2 years, and we had three Grammy Award winners in there. We had the first time in 20-year reunion in the Jefferson Airplane in there. So yeah,
Quite a few musical feathers to your cap, not to mention helping out River Folk as well.
Yeah. So that was my main thing for most of my life. I've been doing music and doing the marketing stuff on the side and kind of put that into play as soon as I realized that I could contribute to this thing. So I built her a website and put on concerts for her. So
now, is this all volunteer, like by the performers,
yeah,
by your time? All of this is just you.
Totally. Yeah.
We put them up, and with the headliner, we'll pay for their transportation here, but everything else is all volunteer. Yeah, which especially in Bob's case was a huge deal. He sells out large venues all over the world. He's very big in Italy, so it was, for him to come out here was quite a treat for us and for whoever was at that show. We're going to get back to doing them next year, but we had to take a year off due to some extenuating circumstances, but we're gonna do more in the future.
Oh, good to know that there are more to come.
There will be, absolutely.
Yes, and you have a relationship with several different organizations that are doing good in our community, not just PAC, but I know you do work with the Armory.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. How is it that you were able to cooperatively come together with them?
Well, Robin, their executive director at the Armory, and I are friends, and I guess she just got tired of hearing me whine about using the Armory, and she did offer that we could use it for Thanksgiving, and we're there every year. This year I'm really excited because our mayor Bruce Jones is bringing his wife and his mother. They're going to come and help serve and clean up and greet our guests. So that'll be really, really nice to have them. We've had Arlene come in and chat up our guests. Kenny Hansen has come in and served and helped out.
Yeah, the fire department always sends a contingency of firemen to help serve.
How many turkeys would you guess you have served up? Or pounds of potatoes, or if you have any statistics?
Gosh. Well, this year, CMH is donating 100 pounds of mashed potatoes. Gotta plug Chef Phil at Smoked Bones. He is cooking all of our turkeys. He's roasting half of them and smoking the other half and making the gravy. Blue Scorcher and AAA Insurance are donating the yams. Oh my gosh, it's just Lectro. I called Paul Davis from Lectro and said, so here's a challenge for you. I need 20 turkeys, and put him to work, and there the turkeys are coming in. We've got it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's
one turkey away. And we're
that could be your new slogan.
That's right. Just one more turkey.
One turkey. We got a bunch of other needs, and people can get to see what we need at riverfocusstoria.com/Thanksgiving. And if they go there, it redirects to a sign-up sheet that has what we need of green bean salad to desserts to helpers to help us clean up.
Oh, another thing, Fort George, Chef Jeff and Jesse Anderson, their baker, are donating 300 dinner rolls and 65 pounds of dressing. So without this amazing community, these two crazy people here couldn't get it done, you know, on our own, not without their support. It's just been amazing. Also, Constant Wisen from Thrivent has gifted us with a $250 gift card to help pay for paper plates and everything. It's just a huge group effort.
And this is the will be the fourth year.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And does it just keep growing as far as like people participating and those who are showing up, or what have your numbers indicated?
Our numbers have indicated that it's getting bigger. I think we started out with our first year with maybe 150 to 200 people. Last year it was 300 people easy. And we're expecting more this year, hence the 20 turkeys.
Yeah. Plus some spiral tams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Also, Santa's coming. Yay.
Oh, wow.
AKA Jeff Daly is showing up to.
Don't give anything away.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's Jeff.
Bringing him.
Oh, okay. Yes. There you go. Jeff with a guest.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, I have a personal story. I went to riverfolkastoria.com. Because I wanted to, this was in 2017, I wanted to participate. Mm-hmm. And I was going to make some mashed potatoes because it looked like they were in need. Mm-hmm. And the person before me had volunteered to prepare 40 pounds of mashed potatoes. So I thought, I was just prepared to do 5, maybe 10. But I thought, oh, well. I guess if you're gonna do it, I signed up for my 40 pounds of mashed potatoes and spent a good probably 8 hours in the senior center kitchen because they were generous enough to let me use their services so that I could provide my potatoes. But yay. I was so glad I did it. It was kind of like a tumbling of events, but I was really happy to be a part of such a wonderful community thing.
It's such a cool thing. I spent most of my life in L.A., and there used to be a huge feed at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium every year, And I did it a couple of times before I moved up here. And it was, there's nothing better. It just is, it's such a good feeling to get to, you know, given the reason for that holiday in the first place, when you have whatever you have to go and share it is just such a great feeling. It's, thank you for doing that. That's,
Oh my goodness. That was just a pile of potatoes. You guys do a whole lot more than that.
Every little bit counts. You know, what's amazing to me about our Thanksgiving dinner is we started it primarily just because the guys that are fed down at the park, I wanted them to be able to feel community and home and, you know, get in out of the cold weather. So I talked to Robin and said, can we use the armory? And we made it happen. And it was just primarily for the homeless folks. And then we started getting phone calls from people saying, my mom's going to be home alone this year. Is it okay if she comes? And we started advertising at the senior center. So we get a lot of seniors. We just don't want anyone to be home alone and without family. And we're just your big, fat, dysfunctional family. So we want everybody to show up. And now they do. And it's great. Really, I love doing it. It's crazy and it's hectic. We started working on it back in October, but it's worth every bit of tears and sweat we put into it. It's just, it's such a good feeling to see the community come together.
That's wonderful. I'd like to remind everyone you're listening to Talking Story. I'm your host, Lynn Hadley. I'm here with Mary and Scott Dougherty, and they are talking about River Folk, their organization which helps the homeless by providing many services, and we're specifically addressing the 4th Annual Thanksgiving Community Feast, which will take place on November 28th, Thanksgiving, at noon, and that will be at the Armory. And you've also hosted other things at the Armory, but you're not doing the Sunday breakfast anymore?
No,
it was just too much. There wasn't, between IDs and everything, it was too much to handle. Sometimes they have Sunday lunches down at the park, but no, we had to stop doing that. I also want to mention, if I can just jump in there, Tiffany Mitchell. Is she our state representative?
Yes.
Just donated a kidney. And she's coming to serve at River Folk's Thanksgiving feast this year.
Oh, my.
I know.
Yeah, she just did this, a month ago?
She's still on weight restriction. She can't lift anything heavier than 10 pounds.
She just got out of
the
hospital. And she's already out. She was out at the, we ran into her at the Halloween, the trick-or-treat downtown.
Oh, yes.
And she was out handing out candy. It was amazing to me. It's amazing to me that she did what she did in the first place. But it's a big treat for us that she's going to come to serve at the dinner as well.
And Pam Webb comes as well. She can't come this year, so she volunteered her children to come and help out. Voluntold.
That's what children are for.
That's right. What's the point of having them if you can't use them?
Well, do you want to talk about some other activities going on beyond the Thanksgiving meal upcoming?
We will be at Gifts That Make a Difference at the McTavish Room in December. That's a United Way project. And we'll be there raising funds so we can continue doing what we do. And I think that I just want to get through the holidays. I just want to survive.
We do have something very big that's happening in between all of this right now, and it's coming up. And I hopefully we can plug in the date, because I'm old and I don't remember dates.
Well, we can just talk about what it is.
Magnanimous Mug at the Fort George. We are in the running for that, the Magnanimous Mug this year, as we were last year. We just missed placing by one spot last year, and we are intent upon being one of the top three fundraisers at the Magnanimous Mug, hoping to win the thing, because they'll match our all the donations that we get. They'll match them if we are one of the top three. So
We are in it to win it.
So, so you know, we're putting on my best, pledge week voice here. go to our website and donate some money for us, and we need checks actually, and they take
checks or cash. They don't. Cash. They will have a contest for who raises the most online funding, but to place with the top three, you have to have checks or cash.
Anyway, they do this every year. It's very cool. It's held at the final thing where they. Where they announce the winner and so forth is at Fort George. It's coming up.
It's the very end of the year, is it not?
It's the 26th of November.
Yeah, it's a couple of days before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize.
I think it's the 26th, Tuesday.
Okay.
No. Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then a small but meaningful breakdown right after Thanksgiving, and then we'll be ready to hit the road running.
back to action.
That's right.
That's right.
To regroup.
Well, do you want to talk about other things that you're doing in the community, or is it pretty much fundraising and focusing on River Folk when time and volunteers and finances are available?
I think that about covers it. Yeah,
it's a full-time job for her, and it's morning to night on the phone with people or on the computer trying to get. You know, each state is different with how they handle getting birth certificates to you, and so there's a lot of research and a lot of. It's not as simple as just go here, click a button, go there, click a button for Mary. She has to go through a lot of different hoops with certain states to get their birth certificate and indeed other countries, which she's had to do. And we've been, one of our biggest supporters, moral and financial, has been our Senator Betsy Johnson. And, since the beginning, and, she hooked us up with another state official, who was it?
Suzanne Bonamici.
Someone in her office has helped us with the international stuff. So there isn't a whole lot of time to do other things at this point. Not for Mary, and I have my own business, Red Hair, that does the website and 50 other websites and social media for a lot of different local people.
Okay. So, in the time remaining, before we leave here, we'll talk about the upcoming Thanksgiving dinner, but can you tell me how people who are interested in making use of your services can find out more about how they could do so?
Certainly. Everything is on riverfolkhistoria.com. We have rack cards and other things, but basically it's the website is the focal point of letting people know. Obviously, you know, not all the homeless people are able to access it. So it's generally word of mouth. A lot of the local organizations, CCA and Helping Hands, they're aware of River Folk and refer people to us. So we're not in a need of getting the word out about this to the people who need it. They're finding out.
They're finding you.
They're finding us very easily.
And the same could be said for volunteers and funding?
No. that's something that we are getting better at, learning how to write more grants and starting to write grants. Been a little slow go with that because we're both working full time, so it's a little more difficult. And volunteers, people want to help, but you know it's an interesting thing. We need volunteers. Typically force things like this, like the Thanksgiving dinner, where it's very focused and we have a job for them to do and do it. what Mary does most of the time, only she can do, you know, because she knows she has the contacts with the various state agencies. There's an opportunity on the website to volunteer. You know, the best thing that I can do is I do a lot of social media, and
which I was just going to ask that you might address your usage of social media. I know it seems like there's a fleet of folks who are ready to respond to please set out on Facebook. Right. I know I was able to help you ask for beans.
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, not to toot my own horn.
You were good.
Or maybe I shouldn't talk about tooting when I'm beans in the same line.
Oh, come on. Let's be real.
Well, Facebook is the tool in this community. It's just about the only way. We've got, between us, we have thousands of friends that are local that we can put that call out to, and we generally get what we ask for when we put it out there. So,
part of the reason that it's hard to have volunteers help me do what I do is one of the things that sets us apart is I'm a mobile advocate. We don't have an office. I have a home office that I work out of, but I don't have clients come there. And we don't rent an office in Astoria, because that'd be, you know, $1,200 a month that wouldn't be going to our clients. So, you know, I'm on the road. I am moving constantly, you know, picking up people, taking them to the DMV, just making sure that I'm out there. So when people say, where's your office? I'm like, oh, well, there's a little chunk of curb in front of the library. And I do. I go down and sit on the curb and, you know, do my intake. And then I'm off again in my little red bug. So I like it. So it's hard to have someone there, you know, to volunteer to do that, because I've done it for so long that it's just my system of working, and it works. It's been working for us.
Quite nicely.
I think so, yeah. And I'm happy doing it.
Well, thank you so much. Before we go, I want to make sure I let everybody know that coming up on Thanksgiving, November 28th at noon at the Armory, will be the 4th annual Riverfolk Thanksgiving Community Feast, and brought to you by Mary and Scott Dougherty, who are here talking with us today on Talking Story. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lynn.
We really appreciate it.